Hey there, welcome to yet another episode, an unscripted episode with me, Garima, and Antara.
Yes.
And
today we're talking all things food.
Absolutely.
Delicious, tasty, give me more synonyms.
But before we start, I really have to say this, that it was a mammoth task to get our guest here in the studio with the number of messages, calls, all the relatives probably whom I would have known of her to call. And then after a while, she was like, dude, I know that I'm scheduled for your podcast today. I am on my way. I'm going to be there. Who is she? She's an award-winning author, a food presenter, a writer, and has a very, very adorable smile, vibe, and energy. So if you hear that little giggle on the mic, it's actually of none other than Dina.
Welcome to the show, Dina.
You know what? I think I should be awarded for just getting you here, sit right? Behind the camera, sit behind the mic and the camera and talk to us. Oh my God, how busy have you been?
I know, it's been hectic. And this month has just been insane and I can't keep up. I don't know what the day of the week it is. I don't know what the date is. I'm just trying to get through the month alive, I swear.
Well, tell me about it. After a while, even I was like, should I text her one more time? Should I just call her? And I was actually feeling scared. I was like, no, okay, fine. All right, let's start with...
Yes, Dina.
With?
With... Her book. When did you launch it?
Yeah, so the book came out on the 1st of February. So it's
so did it
fresh.
Get busy after that, or have you just always been this busy?
No. So like the busyness and gradually like built up, and then like December, January were just pretty insane months, and then like 1st of February came, and I was like, yay, my book's gonna be out. Okay, I can like relax. No, have not been able to relax.
Okay, so tell us about the book.
Okay, so the book is called Bahari, which means Swahili, means ocean in Swahili. Mm-hmm. And Bahar is the sea in Arabic. So the idea was that it combined both the Arabic and Swahili, which are both parts of my identity. And it explores recipes from Oman, but also the maritime history and how Oman got its food throughout its whole entire kind of history. So I've included things like recipes from Muscat, recipes from Zanzibar, the coast, the interior, and then a bit about me growing up in the UK as well.
So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I grew up in the UK, born and raised there in a place called Portsmouth, which is right in the south, actually an island connected to England. And I was there with my family, like lots of the Zanzibar community, the Omani Zanzibar community grew up and spent time in Portsmouth after the Zanzibar Revolution. And so that's where I spent my whole entire life. And then I used to come back to Oman, like, for all the summers and all the school holidays. My father's family are all Omani, whereas my mum's family are very mixed. They're Iranian, Zanzibari, and Omani. So I'm heavily mixed on both sides, which is really nice. And that's me. Like, I studied fashion and marketing at uni, and then I decided I hated that degree, and I didn't want to work in fashion.
That happens to a lot of people.
I swear, everyone. And like I was saying yesterday, I think, like, 70% of people must not do what they do for their degree. But I was like, no, I don't want to work in the fashion industry. And I didn't know why I wanted to do, but it was all kind of like discovering my identity, trying to figure out who I was. Like, when I grew up in Portsmouth, I was trying to be really English and fit in with my friends. But then when I went to uni, there were so many different kids from all around the world. And I was like, oh no. I was like, I need to figure out how to be Omani. And it all just came down to food.
Hey, wow. What a lovely way to put it right there. Correct? So correct me if I'm wrong. I think it all started in 2019.
Yeah.
And right now you're in 2024.
Yeah.
Quite a journey in those 5 years.
Yeah.
You have done so much.
Yeah.
You have your own YouTube channel. You have your own website. You have your own TV show. You have a book now.
Yeah.
5 years?
I know. Wow. It's mad. And to think like we were in COVID for like 2 of those years.
So do you count those 2 years or like us, you just like to...
Yeah. I like to just pretend they weren't there. No, but actually, to be fair, those 2 years were so great because for me, just because I got to spend time at home. So I got to like kind of...
Experiment a little bit.
Experiment in my craft, figure out what I wanted. And like not have to deal with the world just moving so fast because now I have to do that at the same time as the world moving.
Yeah. So what did those 5 years actually teach you?
Oh, it's taught me a lot. It's taught me a lot about being Omani, what that actually means, who we actually are. I've learned so much about our history and it's insane. There's just a lot and I'm still learning every day. I've learned a lot of cooking skills. Like, I actually used to hate cooking, didn't want to go near food, hated the kitchen. Yeah, hated the kitchen. I swear, I like hated the kitchen. I was like, I don't want to be here. But my family, like, were always cooking. My grandmother cooked for everyone in the community. And so I was used to home cooking and that. But over the years, I've kind of gained a craft. I now know how to cook properly. I now know how to work in kitchens. So it's just a lot.
Yeah. So if you actually introduce yourself, okay, let's do this. Let's do it this way, okay? Let's say that you're a presenter
today
and you have Dina on your show.
Okay.
And you got to introduce Dina.
Okay.
How would you introduce her?
Oh, I think I'd go with my classic line. Like, Dina is a Omani British food writer, presenter, recipe developer, and food consultant, specializing in Omani and Zanzibari food, as well as the wider Middle East and East Africa. That's why I like.
She said about creating your own recipes.
Yeah.
Tell me, what's the most absurd thing that you've made? But actually turned out good.
Oh. Oh, wow. Oh, my God. I don't know. I don't know. But, like, I'm one person that will play with anything. So mm-hmm. I don't care. So, like, one time I'd gone grocery shopping and I had raspberries and they burst in the bag. And then for some reason they got all over my parsley. And I was like, I'm not chucking this. I'm not washing it. What am I going to do? So I was like, these raspberries are expensive. I need to eat them. So I ate them with the parsley. And I was like, this will make for a great dish one day. And I still haven't decided what that dish is going to be, but there's going to be a dish with raspberry and parsley.
That's a very strange
combination. Yeah,
you haven't tried anything yet out of that. But you're sure?
No, yeah, because I'm sure that I'm going to do it.
Okay.
And I was like, I just need to decide what is worthy of a raspberry and parsley coming together.
Interesting. Okay, one thing. So while I was reading about you and all of that, I got to hear that while you were coming up with this book, you traveled extensively. Like, right from the mountains of Oman to the areas near the sea.
Yeah.
And you met loads and loads of families. You understood their culture, what they eat, what they're not. Actually, to talk about just India also, from where we both come.
Yeah.
In India also, if you go from one state to the other, the taste of the biryani also changes.
Yes.
Like, a biryani in Hyderabad would taste very different from a biryani in, let's say, a Delhi.
Yeah.
Okay. So the taste changes, the language changes. My state is all about dal bati churma. Her state is all about Rasgulla. So you tell me about Oman, about the governorates that you travel. What are their specialties? What did you learn? What did you pick up? And how different is the taste?
Oof. The whole of Oman is so different. I spent about 6 months going to different places. It was pretty mental. And I would say the only governorate I haven't explored enough is Al-Wusta. Just because it's a bit more rural, it's very hard to find people from the area and to get them to just show me around. But I'm working on that at the moment. Mm. And so I went from the mountains all the way down to Salalah. I spent time with like Bukhari families. I spent time with people I never thought I'd ever meet in my life. Like, it's been really, really cool. And one thing I can tell you is that Omani food doesn't have something that you can say is, you know, the main thing for Oman. Like, in the South, they don't eat shua. Hmm. So this whole thing of, like, shua is a national dish. It's not the national dish. Because actually, unless you're in Muscat or, like, surrounding areas of, like, Muscat and the governor itself, you're not going to find shua. They don't have shua on Eid. Suris don't have shua on Eid. Some people in like Alhamra and the Dakhliya governorate don't all have shua on Eid. Like Bahla and Nizwa, they have shua. But then when I was in Alhamra, they don't have shua. Mm. And then when I'm in Salalah, no way do they have shua. Actually, in Salalah, they have a really specific dish that they have for Eid called ma'ajin. And okay. Ma'ajin is like they dry out the beef like 1 or 2 days before Eid.
Okay.
And they dry it out into strips. So they almost make it like it's beef jerky or something.
Mm.
And then they will cut that up into snacks. And they have that as a snack in general. But then when they want to have it for Eid, they actually make like a really nice, sweet, milky curry. And they have that. And then they put this beef inside of it.
They have with rice.
And then homemade ghee
as well. It's so different. Like, and so I'm always telling you, I think the only dish that was common throughout the whole entire country was haris.
Like, it's the only thing you'll find everywhere.
Everything else,
it's so different. Like, Suris are all about fish. They don't believe in hunting, actually. I was told that they're fishermen and they will always be fishing. They do not hunt for their food. So they go fishing for their food. So, and they always say that they have the best
fish in Sur because of where the oceans meet.
So they're where the Arabian Sea and the Indian Ocean meet, if I'm correct. And even how they cut, like, their fish, they cut it in a really specific way. So even if someone lives in Muscat and they're Suri, they'll get their fish cut in Sur.
Here, they have to be cut in a specific way.
Oh, okay. And they say that's the best way to have it cut. And it's usually just like in a square piece.
Okay.
And then they take it with them to Muscat.
Wow, that's quite unique.
And what's your go-to Omani food?
I don't know. I don't think I have one.
Like,
I love Suri fried fish. It's very similar. It's exactly
the same as that.
Exactly fried fish. I lean.
Imagine.
I don't know. Like, that's such a hard one. I love Pablo just because it's very lemony and soupy and easy to eat. And again, in Zanzibari food, it was a very similar dish to it. Like, I don't think I have a go-to one.
Okay, let me put it differently. If you had to make something for somebody, what would you make for them?
Okay, usually it depends. Like if I'm making it for like Brits, the usual thing I will make them is kabuli rice, usually with lamb, and then like all the extra toppings that I put on and include that's in my book. Just because it's a good way to introduce people to Omani food. Mm-hmm. You'll get all of the spices of the whole country. You'll understand that we're big meat eaters. You'll understand the flavors. We use dried limes in it. And it's just a very good like kind of presentational dish.
Interesting.
In the beginning, you also mentioned that your book talks about the whole maritime history and it talks about the influence of the other people who actually came to Oman.
Yeah.
Take me through that. What is the influence and what are the spices that they got along and are still there here in Oman?
Yeah, so like we have so many influences. Oman was an empire. So they used to have part of like the part of Balochistan, Gwadar. They had a big influence from Iran, especially the south of Iran. So think about all of like the pomegranates and the figs and things like this, roses. And then the south and the coast is obviously influenced a lot by East Africa. So you'll notice that, especially in Salalah, you'll notice that you only have coconut palms in Salalah. You don't have date palms. So actually the people that live near the coast in Salalah use a lot of coconut in their food, which is so similar to Zanzibari food. Then like Souris and along the coast, they eat a lot of chili and spices because they have a very big influence from Africa and India. And then obviously and mainly because of Balochistan as well, that influenced Muscat. And then we had lots of Baluchis and like Lawati families that brought their whole own cuisine. So again, they like their food spicy, but they also have specific dishes like Pablo that come from them. So I think it was such a mix. And then obviously, like, when you think about Bedouins and their travels, they bring... I think they're probably the ones that have really introduced, like, dried meat and curing fish and trying to preserve it so that they can travel with it. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we do have the influence coming from India as well, from Iran as well.
From everywhere.
So many. I'm sure even you must have tried the Indian cuisine.
Yeah.
Okay. You must have tried it here. You must have tried it back everywhere. in London, for sure. Which is the one that's your favorite?
Oh.
And if you travel to India, have you, by the way, ever?
I've only been to Goa.
That's crazy.
But then everyone's like, Goa's not India. I'm like, well, it is. I went there.
Everyone is telling you that is actually the truth.
Yeah. Goan food, to be fair, was out of this world. And I went to so many local Goan restaurants. And their food is so spicy. But I loved it. But it was killing me.
What is the specialty? Vindaloo. If I remember right, Vindaloo. I mean, I don't know if it's a specialty, but they talk about the Vindaloo.
Sounds like a British specialty.
Well, I know
specialty.
Goa popular for a lot of other reasons.
We're not going to get into that.
Yeah. I tell you what, one of my favorite things is. Is it Pani Puri, the small one?
Yes.
Oh my God. I can eat those 24/7. And it's the one thing, I cannot find a good place in Muscat to eat them. And I've been desperate because...
You should definitely try this place. It's called Dawat.
Where is it?
It's in Ruvi.
Oh, perfect.
Yes, and you have to go there and you have to stand there and eat the
pani. Oh, that's what I want.
That's what you should do. You cannot make it yourself.
You don't have to sit in a restaurant, a table where they serve pani puri
that. No, that's why I don't like. There used to be a place before COVID, there used to be a place in El Khubra, and it was very close to the Oman Oil that's on that like 18th of November Street. Okay. And it was a tiny little place and he did the best pani puri and then these like big potato like used to go there constantly and eat, and then after COVID he was gone and I was so upset and I've never been able to find pani puri again.
I wish I can invite you somewhere to my house because we make pani puri at home.
Oh really?
It's a Gujju household where they love making their own pani puri there.
Next time I'm back,
but
I'm coming.
Thanks to your busy schedule,
don't worry,
it's so difficult to catch her just for 10 minutes or 15 minutes.
I'll be back next time.
I think that's a good way to lure pani puri.
Before you leave today, you definitely have to try.
Okay, I'm gonna try and get on to,
maybe next time when you come we can order some.
I'm going to try and get on to Rui. You have to send me the address.
I'll do that.
Okay, I'm excited. I'm hungry as well.
So you can definitely try that. Okay, talking about the Indian food, talking about that, you have something to ask?
Yeah, so let's talk about flavors. How do you approach striking that balance between not making too spicy, but should still be flavorful? How do you achieve that?
Oof, it's such a hard one. Like, I love my spice. I love using spices, but I don't know. Sometimes it depends on who I'm catering for. But in general, when I cook, I always like to have something sweet, something sour, and then savory and chili. Like those are all the elements I look for.
Right.
There's a very famous book called Fat, Acid, Heat, and Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat. And so those are the elements she looks at. And essentially, like when I'm looking, I always need the sour, the sweet, the salt, and then the spice.
Right.
And I just try and pick. So it can come from anywhere. And I just try and bring them together. And I literally will just play. I swear anyone that tells you there's a thought process behind it is lying. There's no thought process. It's whatever. Like, I could take that raspberry and I go, let me add some salt. But then, like, I'll taste it. I'll be like, no, okay, now it needs, like, some cumin. Okay, let's add the cumin. Okay, but now I need some lemon. Okay, let's add a lemon. Oh, wait, it needs the parsley. Let's add the parsley. So I will literally just go along as it is. So sometimes, actually, when I will, like, I have to write a recipe for a magazine, they'll ask for a recipe. I'm not entirely sure how I'm going to do it, but I sit there in my head calculating, oh, actually, lemon works really nicely with mango. So I'll do lemon and mango, but that works really nicely with chicken, so I'll add chicken. And then I'll just tell them the recipe, but I don't know how it's going to turn out. But the theory in my head...
No.
Yeah, the theory in my head is that it will work. It will work in my head. So if it works in my head, I'm pretty sure I can get it to work in the...
Wow. So for beginners like us, because neither one of us cook. Like, I don't even know the ingredients.
Oh my God.
It's
when
I'm not proud
do
of it.
Annually, occasionally.
Yes, yeah. When we're forced to.
Yeah.
You know, there's too lazy to get out, can't order in for some weird reason, and then we'll probably cook. But for beginners like us, you know, what would you advise? What is the simplest thing that we should learn to make and which we can actually make?
Simplest thing. Savory.
Can that be vegetarian, please?
Yeah, but... Also,
just to be a heads up, both of us are vegetarians.
Oh, you're both vegetarians.
Yes.
Oh, you're the people that like to make everyone's life difficult. Well, actually, no, that's vegans. That's fine. What can I say? That's a hard one. Do you know what? If I was going to say, if it was a recipe from, like, my book, I would say Zanzibari bhajia is a bit like falafel, okay? But easier to do. So essentially, we take mung beans... and we'd sometimes take black-eyed peas and mung beans, and then we add in lots of coriander, loads of onions, lots of chili, and then we fry them. Okay, but it's vegetarian, but it's super easy. So I think that's like my fried item that I'd always recommend, because I think anyone can do it.
Right.
And it's quite good when you've got guests coming over. And then I would also say...
Something healthy.
Something healthy.
A, vegetarian, vegan, and now she wants healthier.
You're pushing it.
Do you know what? This is so random. Do you know what? This is so random, okay? But I would say I make a spinach and coconut lasagna.
Whoa!
Yeah, and it's really nice. And you should also make the lasagna fresh. And it's not that difficult.
Dude, that's the first that I'm hearing. Like a spinach and coconut lasagna.
I would totally learn.
I have the recipe coming out soon.
Is it there in the book?
No, it's actually coming out soon on a YouTube video. And I just, I just thought about
it. Great.
I'm
going to follow that.
So delicious. And like, I was like, oh, this works really nicely. Yeah. Because actually in a traditional lasagna, you have bechamel, which is a very creamy, it's a roux that's made from like flour and milk. And I don't like it. And so I was like, let me try this with coconut milk. Mm. And it was delicious.
Mm. Wow. Tell me one thing. One dish from this particular book that represents Oman perfectly.
Oh my God. That's really hard. Perfectly. I don't know.
It's like you would say that this is Oman.
I think I have to go back to the Kabuli example. It's the only dish, because actually, apart from Paris, Kabuli rice is the only thing you'll find across the whole country. Mm. Because everyone will use those same spices to make the exact same rice. They will use all the same meats.
Mm.
And the only thing that you'll notice that will differ is family by family, some spices might not be included. So maybe if you don't live by the coast, you might not use cloves, because cloves would have come from Zanzibar. Mm. So if you're interior, that's not going to be something that you... Unless you had... I mean like mountains and Bedouins, that would not have been a spice that they use.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Bedouins I spent time with mainly use a lot of cinnamon, which is interesting. So I'd probably say Kabuli again, just because it's the only one. Yeah, it's hard.
I like how you were jumping in your head.
Yeah.
She's trying to make up her mind.
This is going to be there. This is going to be there. That's going to be there.
Was that the dish that you cooked for your friends when you actually started?
Yeah. That was literally the dish. That was one of the first things I learned as well.
Wow.
Because I always just remember having it at lunch when I come to family. But I never really knew what it was. I just saw it there at lunch and just thought it was rice with spices in it. And And then I realized, actually, this is everywhere.
Oh. So correct me if I'm wrong. You actually got into this whole cooking scene when you cooked it first for your friends.
Yeah.
Which was coincidentally, we're right now in the middle of Ramadan. That also happened with Ramadan. What was the reaction like when you cooked that for them?
So I was I had to cook for Ramadan. I was hungry. I was like, I need to cook. It's my first time cooking in uni. And so I'm making all of this food, and I had no clue if they were going to like it or not. And I was like, they're all from different countries. You name it, Spain, Italy, Jamaica, like, and I was like, oh no. And they didn't really know much about Oman, so they're just trusting on me. And then they all sat down, and we all sat down on the floor, actually, because we didn't have enough seats at the table. And I was like, okay, they're all sitting on the floor, so they're not bothered about that.
Mm.
And then they just all dug in, and they didn't stop eating. There was nothing left. And me, who was fasting, must have had the tiniest portion of food, mainly because I was just staring at them, like, oh my God, these guys like my food. This is wild. Like, they were just obsessed. They just fell in love. They're like, we've never had food like this. We love it so much. Please keep cooking. And I was like, okay.
Okay. Well, nice. Yeah. You took that up really seriously.
Yeah.
So what was the secret? The dish was really good or were they really hungry?
Yeah. No, I don't know. I was just like, but literally, I cooked so many things that day. And I was just like, wow.
Okay. Is it true that, you know, when you make all the dishes and all of that, you eat the least?
Yeah.
Why?
I actually sometimes don't even eat while I cook in the
end. Why does that happen?
I think it's either because you've been just exhausted. You're in the kitchen all day and you're tasting it. I think that's it. You're tasting it throughout the whole day. So you're constantly having to taste this food. So by the time it comes to it, you already know what it tastes like. And you're just so over it that you're just going to make yourself an egg.
That's actually very true.
Yeah. I don't really eat anything I cook. It's very rare. I don't enjoy it because I'm so bored of it afterwards. I'm just like, oh, I just was in the kitchen all day with this. I want something else.
But what's your go-to comfort food?
Rice. Plain rice with an egg and like a lemon chutney, like an Omani lemon chutney.
It's always the simplest things, right?
Yeah. Like
the biggest chef.
Like bread and butter. I love bread and butter.
Oh, okay, nice. I swear by bread and butter.
Hey, by the way, what's the biggest reward for a person who's cooking? Is it the first reaction that you get? Or is it when you see the plate lick to the last bite and it's like, I can't stop eating?
Oh, I think it's a bit of both. Like when they take that first bite and they love it, you know that you're done. So you can relax. But then if they finish it, you're like, oh, wow. That was obviously really, really good. That was worth finishing.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely a bit of both.
That's rewarding.
Okay, another thing. Now, I do know that royal family, you,
yeah,
and kitchen. Okay. These three words are somewhere connected. How are they connected?
I think it's because, so Zanzibar had a royal family, which was obviously, he was the Sultan of Zanzibar. Mm. And when everyone moved to England, he also had to come to England because of the revolution. He couldn't come to Oman because then you'd have two sultans of the same country in the same place, which doesn't make sense.
Mm.
So he moved there. And my grandmother was one of the people that always used to cook for his family, his sister's family. She'd make all of like the a'id, she'd make all the biryanis, she'd make the mandazi, she'd make everything. So, and they always used to come to her because they like loved her stuff. Her and one of her friends were like the ones that always did it and everyone loved their stuff. Until today, when I go to visit them, I always like take them food just because I know that they'll love it.
So are you trying to say that this book actually has all those secrets?
Yeah.
Wow. And this secrets. Book, please tell me, has the photo of your mom, your grandma.
Yeah, they're all in
Why
there.
Why do you see it?
Okay, they came for a photo shoot at the studio. It was quite funny.
That's cute.
It was sweet.
It was so funny that day because my grandmother came and she was already complaining because she didn't want to come because it was stairs. Okay. And then like she, it sounds weird, but she went blind in one eye. Okay, but like then she then went unblind, but she the whole time she couldn't see out one eye. So that's Bibi. Yeah. I know, it's so cute.
There's this little comfort that's always there when you eat food made by your mom, your grandma.
Right?
Yeah. How much fancy food that you order
and
from
then
outside.
Just all of us together.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's so cute. I love it.
Yeah. So sweet.
So how's the energy like between you, your grandmom, your mom? Do you have those arguments?
We're constantly arguing. None of us agree in the kitchen.
Really?
Yeah. None of us agree. And when we were testing recipes for this book, I had them both living in my grandmother's apartment the whole time.
Okay.
And it's a small kitchen. Yeah. And every day. And so when we did the Zanzibari section of the book, they were just fighting every single day. One's like, no, you have to do it like this. And then one's like, no, do it like this. And I was just like, oh, we're never going to get to the end of this. It was so hard.
Yeah.
But no, we never agree. We don't agree on anything.
So how did you agree on the book then?
Honestly,
are you experimenting on us through the book then?
But luckily for me, I was the last one.
She thought about it. She said, let's try it out.
I actually think there's one recipe in here that my mum tested alone. I didn't test it with her because I completely forgot and I didn't have time.
Okay.
And I was like, mum, I have to travel for work. I need you to test this recipe because I know that she'll make it right. The thing is, she's not very good at writing measurements. Until today, I'm trusting.
Yeah.
I'm trusting that it's right. And I don't want to know. I don't want anyone to cook it just in case. I'm just like, oh, let's everyone just avoid it just in case.
I think moms and grandmoms have this very peculiar way of sharing the measurements, right? They will never tell you 150 grams or 100 grams or 50 grams.
Their
measurements are always going to be like, take a handful of this, show me the bowl. Yeah, this bowl size is good. Or this
just
glass
a little
is good
bit
enough.
More.
That's how it works. And you just have to figure it out. So like when my grandmother's like throwing a cup into a bowl, I've got scales underneath so that I can get the correct measurement. And I'm like, come on, give me a break. But then if I tell her to do it in the scale, she gets confused. I don't know. She's like, I don't know what it is anymore.
But you know what? Back in the day, I still remember when these TV shows used to come, of all these cooking shows and all, yeah. my mom literally used to sit down with a diary and a pen. She would note yes. down everything because yes. those shows would actually show you that, okay, this is the measurement, these are the ingredients. She would literally note them down. I'm not even kidding. She would even go through those food magazines and Love newspaper it. Articles, collect all of those. And it used to be like a treasure. You can't just touch those, you know.
Wow.
And those were the recipes that I don't know if she still has those, yeah. but she still refers to it that, you know, this is how it is.
Oh my God.
In fact, you know, in a lot of meetings, our CEO also says that Times of Oman once had this Thursday magazine. And yeah. people were crazy about it because it used to have these recipes and all that. So I do understand when it's in a written format, when you see the picture, it's like relatable. But again, we've got to admit that we are in a digital age.
Yeah.
Where everything is just through like a voice command. Yeah. Or just a click away. And you have so many recipes and everyone's telling you and you're going with it. Question.
Okay.
You've also done website. You've done your YouTube shows. How did you come up with the idea that you also have to come with a book? Do you think that book still has its own charm?
Cookbooks do. Cookbooks do. They're huge. Cookbooks are the only book that only 1% of their sales come from ebooks. So people still buy cookbooks. And I think it's because they're pretty. You can put them on your coffee table.
Right.
You can look at pictures. And I think it's purely because they're just beautiful books.
Right.
Because whereas like if you're just reading a novel, there's nothing in there. There's no pictures. There's nothing. So you can just read it on a Kindle, whatever.
Right.
But a cookbook, this was actually what I wanted to do before anything. So I did it. And like cookbooks, especially in the West, are massive. So,
really?
Yeah, I don't know when they'll ever die out, but it's not stopping.
And this is a pretty book. This is, yeah, it looks
dude,
pretty
it's
on
already
the table,
number
doesn't
one
it?
On Amazon. In yeah. less than a month, it's already number one.
Wow.
It's bestseller,
three
right?
days. 3 days. Yay!
Good job. You. Good. Now, this is what you call like a real, real bold, italic, size 72, whatever, underlined influencer. I mean, like, that's the life that you actually get influenced from.
Absolutely.
And this is what is that she's doing right now. That's what you've got to study. And
you can learn from her. That's yeah, the most important
yeah,
part.
Yeah. Talking about Ramadan.
Yeah.
That's where it all started with
yeah,
you,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
How is a typical day of Ramadan back in London for you?
To be honest, it's like a normal day just because I have to go to work. I have to do things. Life doesn't stop in England.
Right.
And I tend to keep myself as busy as possible. And then I will either meet up with friends, go see family. Sometimes, like if I actually have time, I'll just spend all day cooking, mm. like preparing things for the evening. But then the evening comes, you don't eat anything. So,
yeah.
like, so honestly, Ramadan does not change.
Yeah, yay. It's pretty much the same.
Yay.
The schedule is pretty
yeah.
much the same.
And I don't mind it. Like, I like Ramadan here, but the most I can do here is like a week, only because I hate that everyone's constantly eating in
yeah.
the evenings until the morning.
Right.
But I do enjoy like the whole getting together and the right. whole doing things with people here. So I like love that part.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's actually that. No, you know, the whole vibe of the city also changes.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
families
yeah.
come together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They spend more time together. They eat together.
Yeah.
They cook together. So tell me another thing. Right now, during Ramadan, if there is this one new thing that they can try with their family, what would you suggest that probably they should try?
One new thing they should try with their family.
For an iftar.
One new thing.
Maybe from the book.
Come on.
It's so hard.
Don't call your grandma, mama.
I'm trying to think of something that's different, that's worth trying for Ramadan and what's suitable to eat in Ramadan.
Yeah.
Because, like, I know people are so different when it comes to, like, eating in Ramadan. I don't know, maybe. Like, if you have the time, there's a recipe in here that's dumplings, actually. It's called kashoud. Mm. Kashoud is actually an Omani dish, which is a very thick paste-like curry, almost.
Okay.
And it's so thick, and it's usually made with tuna. Mm. But I changed the recipe to make it easier if you're in, like, Europe and you don't have tuna. And then I put it in a dumpling, and then I have it with, like, a chili honey. And that's, if someone's got time to make those in Ramadan, they make for a really good snack.
Yeah. Well, now I understand why is it so difficult. The simple question when someone in the morning just asks you, what do you want for dinner?
Yeah, I hate that question.
I don't know how people plan.
You can do your presentations. You can be in your like N number of meetings. You can take those difficult decisions and all
yeah,
of that. But
yeah.
for this decision, oh my God, it really puts you on the spot like, I don't know, dude. Right?
Yeah.
It is not an easy
hard,
one, right?
Yeah.
It's a very hard one.
So hard.
Okay, another one.
Okay.
A secret, if you had to share, that has always worked for you. An ingredient, a secret,
a
the way
secret
of cooking.
A secret ingredient from Dina.
Anything. Like a secret that's like, dude, I can never go wrong with this.
Pomegranates. But that's because I love pomegranates.
I read that.
You know, when she said that, there were so many things that came to my mind that you can actually use it in so many things, right?
Oh, yes.
It's not it just masks food.
It masks a lot of things, but it actually works great in just about anything. So it's good to cover up things.
Pomegranate.
Yeah, and it looks pretty. Nice. So whether that's the molasses or the fresh seeds, you can use it. It's just going to work for you.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you want to do the rapid fire?
Now? I have a lot more questions to ask. Because I told her that I'm not going to let you go before I finish asking all those questions
Okay, go for it.
Okay, like she said that if there has been a weird dish that you cooked and you got a very weird reaction, sorts and all. But now you've got to be honest.
Okay.
You got to tell me, when were those low moments when you were coming up with the book or when you were working on the YouTube channel or when you were working on the website? Because right now what you spoke with us, what's there on social media, it's all good, happy, nice.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that you could have also had those moments when you had the doubt that, dude, am I really doing the right thing? And how did you deal with that?
Low moments. I don't know. I'm not someone that spends too much time on a low... Like, I'll go through a phase in the day and I just get, like, upset and angry about something, but then I quickly move on. Because I can't do anything if I'm upset and angry. I can't work. I can't get through things. I just have to, like, move on.
Right.
But then I'm very good at just moving on. And lots of people can't just move on.
Mm-hmm.
I would say... Like, any time, like, I've got to a stage, like, oh, my God, should I be doing this? Am I the right person to do this? Or, you know, like, who's actually going to watch this? Who's going to listen?
Yeah.
I just have to, like... Someone once told me that... they asked me what was my... I always forget the phrasing they use, but they basically asked me, like, kind of what my kind of... Like, it's kind of like my identity. They asked me what was so unique or, like, what was my superpower in my identity? And I was... I didn't really understand what they were talking about, but they were talking about the fact that I can have a cousin and, you know, we've got the same... one of our parents is like, related or whatever, but she's still different to me and I'm still different to her.
Right.
And so that's kind of like your superpower. And so once they taught me that, it's always stuck in my head. Doesn't matter what you do, you know, there's never going to be two of you. Mm. So even if you are a twin, there's still not going to be two of you.
It kind of rhymes.
If you just remember that, then you can just like be like, okay, I need to continue. Because actually, if I don't do it, then there's not another me that can do it.
Wow.
So that's a very good way to go
about it. Yeah, and I think totally what your mood, which mood are you in, what emotions are you going through, it completely reflects the food also that you cook, right?
Yeah.
You totally agree with that as well.
Yeah.
Right?
So what's your happy food?
My happy
food.
We'll
do this real quick. It's not a rapid fire, just since we're talking
about
it.
Yeah, I thought that was a rapid fire.
No, we've got a lot of questions there.
My happy food. I don't know what my happy food is.
Don't say kabuli or don't say egg rice.
I was going to say rice because literally rice is my happy food. Any form is my happy food.
And happy food.
Okay. What do you go to if you're feeling upset or angry? Let's talk about angry.
Angry.
Yeah. You're angry and you're in the kitchen, you just need to make something.
Probably melted chocolate with pomegranates.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah,
that's
I'd melt the chocolate and then add in the pomegranates. That would calm me down.
When I think of London, it's always strawberries and chocolate. It's the first that I'm hearing that you can actually do pomegranate and chocolate as well.
Pomegranate is the secret ingredient.
Yeah.
Now we know.
Yeah. Do you actually... Sorry to cut you there. Do you actually carry pomegranates when you go back to London?
Yeah, actually, it's funny. This time, I actually took a picture because my suitcase coming to Oman had a pomegranate in the suitcase. I was like, why have I got this pomegranate in my suitcase? I had no clue why I had it there. But when I got here, I ate it. So
I'm not surprised because I'm not even kidding. So I come from a Gujju household. And when I say Gujju, it's like the Gujarati family back in India. They love food. Okay? They're like obsessed with food. And I'm not kidding. When my mother-in-law actually travels during this season from India to Oman, she will bring bags full of vegetables and those different things that she can make undiu out of, because it's a very popular dish in Gujarati. And she says the vegetables here don't taste exactly the same like how they do in India. And me and my husband, we just look at her and we're like, and you paid extra luggage for that.
Exactly.
Like, you're actually carrying those vegetables.
Yeah.
If you are like, you know, very emotional about something that you've got to cook.
Yeah, there's certain things that you need to have with you at all times.
It's
like
just the excitement in her to see the reaction that we were so happy enjoying that undiu that we eat.
Yeah, so what are a few things that are in the kitchen that if I step into Dina's kitchen, these things are always going to be there?
Oh, there's a lot of stuff. Probably always salt, garlic, lemon, fresh chilies, cumin, baharat, and pomegranate molasses.
Again, oh my God, pomegranate is a real thing.
Yeah, so two things, two takeaways from this entire conversation. One is pani puri for me and the other one is going to be pomegranate. It's like if somebody has described Dina, these are the two food items that completely kind of describe her, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, okay.
Do you rely on a lot of equipment?
I have loads of gadgets. And to be fair, I do use them to make my life easier, but I don't rely on them anymore. I can just do it without.
You can do it on your own.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know we're talking about like actual ingredients, but how important do you think, and we spoke about this a little earlier, how important do you think presentation is, like especially pomegranate, right?
I think it's so important. I think in the sense that nowadays people eat with their eyes. Actually, we've always eaten with our eyes. It's very hard for us to eat. I mean, I think if you're a big eater and you love your food and you're willing to try anything, you care less about presentation. But for the average person that actually isn't really, really interested in food but likes to eat and needs to eat, you need presentation, otherwise they can't eat it.
Any plating tips?
Any plating tips? Yeah, you don't need to fill the plate with so much. Like, yeah, less is more. Like, it's so important. People just really ruin plates. And don't use dark plates. Dark plates never look good with food.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
dark plates. I thought the colours popped.
Yeah.
No, it depends. It honestly depends what you're putting. But also, never use blue plates.
Oh. Blue, okay, yeah, this is interesting.
Food doesn't look good on a plate that's all blue.
Interesting.
That's just a tip I remember when we were doing my book and the stylist mentioned it.
This is for all those influencers out there who claim to be influencers. Yeah. And once when they enter the kitchen take a photo, just keep that tip in mind that never use those blue plates. Because your food would never look great on that,
no,
right?
No.
Hey, interesting. I never knew that though. Hey, wow, okay. Are you also one of those who orders food and then takes 10 minutes to just click and then it goes like...
Yeah, I'm done very quick. No, I'm done very quickly because I know what I need from a shot now, so I don't waste my time. I don't really
care. Share a trick and tip for that. How do you click photos of the food?
I literally just take a photo. Like now, I'm very much like, plate is here on top. As long as the lighting's okay, I'm good to go.
Okay, perfect. So this is the top angle. That's
I cannot be bothered anymore. There's no point. There's no point. No one's
like, food tastes good.
Yeah, like everybody knows. That interested in seeing whatever you're eating. Like as long as they can see the dish and it looks good, then yeah.
Okay. Oh, perfect. We can now get on to the rapid fire if you want.
All right.
Because you go first and then I have my own set of questions.
Okay. So I
have a timer there.
Okay. 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 No. Mine is a very simple thing. We'll play a game. You got to tell me yes or no.
Okay.
Okay. Is it a culinary crime or is it a delicious discovery? So.
Okay.
You don't get time to think.
Okay.
Very short one. Okay. Pineapple on pizza.
No.
Sorry. French fries with ketchup or pizza. Yes. Pasta with a dash of hot sauce.
Yes.
Raisins or cinnamon in biryani.
No.
Okay. This one is for you.
Okay.
Pomegranate in chaat.
Yes.
Sushi with mayo.
No.
Okay, I'm done.
Hey, wow. Yeah, I even agree. Sushi with mayo, please. No. Yeah. Oh, big no, don't do
that. They do that a lot here.
These restaurants have really started doing it. I'm like, why do you have to spoil that lovely looking... And imagine a vegetarian eating a sushi first. And on the top of
it's usually avocado sushi, isn't it?
And we can put carrots also at times.
Yeah.
But yeah, but no mayo, please. All right, this one's also a quick one. Favorite ingredient to cook with?
Pomegranates.
Favorite Omani food?
Pablo.
Ingredient you're most afraid of?
What's it called?
Five. Oh. Four.
Star anise.
Okay. Celebrity you would love to cook for?
Five.
I feel like I know loads. Okay. Chrissy Teigen.
Okay. Midnight snack?
Chocolate and pomegranates.
Baked or fried?
Fried.
Would you rather never cook again or never taste again?
Cook again.
Ooh. Last meal on earth?
Fest in June, but my version, which is cashew nuts, ground cashew nuts with pomegranates, and it's a curry with chicken.
Soup or salad?
Salad.
Breakfast for dinner or dinner for breakfast?
Breakfast for dinner.
Favorite season to cook?
Spring.
Favorite kitchen gadget?
My food processor.
A culinary trend you wish would die a slow and painful death?
There are so many that should die.
Go for it. This is not rapid fire. Talk me.
Honestly, like, obviously, we just said mayo and sushi. Yeah. That needs to go.
Yeah.
What else needs to go? There are so many. Like, these, everyone keeps making, like, tiny little miniature croissants and having them in cereal. Like, that needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things that just need to go. I cannot stand it. I'm tired of matcha. Matcha needs to go. Like, people have taking matcha way over the top, like matcha everything. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
God, what else irritates you? There's so many things that irritate me.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many cooking scars do you have?
Cooking? Oh, so many. I'm constantly. I'm actually a really clumsy cook. So everywhere across my body, I've got a scar from cooking.
Wow. Wow. Who's the better cook? Mom or grand?
Oh. Grandma.
Sure.
Mom. Both.
But you said grandma first. Okay, so what's the answer? For the record.
Both.
No, you gotta choose one.
She has to go home today.
Grandmother.
Okay, perfect. London or Oman?
Oman.
Perfect. That's about it. This is our pride. This is our Omani Dina, who's gone there out in the world and is the first, right?
Yeah.
First Omani to release this international cookbook on such a level. It has become a bestseller. We're so, so proud of you, girl.
Thank you.
We wish you all the best. Nothing but the best. Have a fantastic Ramadan ahead. And hope you spend a lot of time with your family. Keep cooking, keep experimenting, keep coming up with good stuff. And next time when you come, I'll bring pani puri and you bring a veg.
Yes.
Perfect. Make us a meal. Yeah, that sounds good to me. If there's pani puri, I'm there.
Yeah. Perfect. Thank you so much, Dina.
Thank you, Dina.
And now, all the best for the rest of your busy schedule.
Oh, God. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks.
I think we'll just finish it there.
Yeah, we're done.
Yay!